The Jason and John Show.
Our man, Freddie Coleman, joins us now. You can hear him on ESPN Radio. Veteran in the game. He joins us now. Freddie, what's going on, man?
Everything is good now that you brought the Temptation of Rick James to bring me into the show. Of course, we're standing at the top now.
I always love when you come on because you keep us in check in terms of our musical selection. You know, I know we always get if it's legit, you'll let us know.
Yeah, well, it's always legit with you guys, so I don't think you guys have anything to worry about.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, as always. A lot to get to today, Freddie. Our conversations about sports the last, I don't know, 3 to 4 months have been more different than ever before. And I think, certainly in the case of now, I think it's actually a good and productive thing. But now, obviously, the way we talk about sports, it's all through the prism of social injustice, racial equality. What have you sort of made of, you know, just the times that we are in now where, you know, this is, you know, you turn on ESPN Radio on a weekend, you know, that's the topic. Whereas maybe 4 years ago, people were a little, I don't know, tentative, a little reluctant to tackle an issue like that. That's not the case anymore. What do you make of that? How does that make you feel? Just sort of your perspective on all of this.
Well, I'm glad that people are going to be aware of social issues inside and outside of sports. But I do think about this from the standpoint of if live sports were going on, that's not to say we wouldn't talk about it as much, but there would be something else that would be able to filter through. Let's say if we had the NBA Finals, which would be going on right about this time, or Major League Baseball, or anything else, but specifically those two, the NHL, the Stanley Cup. Not saying that we wouldn't talk about what's going on now, but there would be other things that would be catching our attention. And I wonder how much of that would be talked about when it comes to sports, when it comes to athletes speaking up with these social issues. So I think because that's the only thing that has really had everybody's awareness right now. This has superseded COVID-19 in the United States, but also no live sports really going on when it comes to the big four of baseball, hockey, basketball, and football. That's why we're starting to hear and see and receive a lot more of this attention when it comes to a lot of social issues going on, especially athletes who are not going to just stand down and be quiet anymore.
So many young folks across the country feels like on fire for change that we will. Where are you at on it, Freddie?
I hope so, because I hope that the conversations and also everything around those conversations are not going to stop when this becomes not as big of a media story as it is right now. But I go back to that person's point on Twitter. When you have people that still want to be comfortable with who they want to be comfortable with, that change is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen next year. It's not going to happen a couple of years from now. That's not to say the owners may not be more aware. We don't know, because plenty of these owners out there, they enjoy being in the ivory tower, whether they're baseball owners, basketball owners, but especially in the National Football League. So they don't. I'm not trying to say that they don't care or that they're completely oblivious to what's going on, but it's not affecting their bottom line. And as far as they're concerned, they're going to run their league the way they want to run their league. And they don't care who has anything to say about that, because they know as a private enterprise, there really isn't anything that the government or anybody else can say to make them change their practices. Because if that didn't happen 4 years ago, when so many people were upset about the NFL blackballing Colin Kaepernick and making him an example, then even 4 years later, where there's more social awareness going on and more people speaking out about it, looking for that change and not sitting back and being silent anymore, the National Football League and their ownership group does not believe that applies to them. And since they're a multi-billion-dollar enterprise, they're really going to stand by that, hope that this goes away, at least the fear is going to die down, and then they can continue with business as usual, owning an NFL team the way that they want to in the NFL.
Yeah, we are talking to Freddie Coleman. You can hear him on ESPN Radio. Obviously, this is so far down the list of things that, you know, we can actually do. But I do expect to see it, and I'm curious if you do as well. The kneeling during the national anthem. How prevalent are you expecting that to be? Like, do you think we're going to see every team, every man? I mean, because it was a story every week in 2016, right? It was the anthem watch, who's kneeling, who's not. And some guys knelt, some guys didn't. What are you sort of expecting from that perspective, you know, during, and maybe even college as well? I mean, it's something that college coaches are going to have to, you know, answer for as well. Are they going to stand by their team? Are they going to support their, you know, right to express themselves, the players? What are you sort of expecting to see in football this year?
That's a really good question, because college coaches are going to have more control over their players than NFL coaches and really NFL teams are going to have over their players. I think we're going to see players kneeling in both sides, whether it's the NFL or college football. I think it's going to come down to the fact of what kind of conversations are going to be had, not so much with NFL coaches and their players, because the players are going to say, look, we get paid by you, but that doesn't mean that you own us. In college football, if you have to worry about your scholarship being taken away or playing time taken away, I wonder how many coaches will lord that over players and say, well, if you do this, that is your right to do this, but it's also my right, even if they don't say it outwardly, to put somebody else in that place and maybe run you out of that program. There's still plenty of coaches in college football that enjoy the fact that they can be the kings of all they survey and nobody is going to challenge them, especially when it comes to scholarship players and especially when plenty of these college football coaches, in my opinion, are going to have the backing, not so much of the athletic director, but the boosters, the alumni, maybe even the school president. So they have more of a fail-safe that where they can have their ways imposed on players in college football, that National Football League coaches can do the same thing when it comes to players who may say, I'm getting paid, so I have a right to kneel because I'm not protesting the anthem or protesting the flag.
Well, and there's some leverage to your point, like when you're a professional football player, you know, not that you can't transfer in college, but you know, if you're a great player in the NFL, let's just use DeAndre Hopkins, for example, right? Like DeAndre Hopkins plays for the Cardinals now. He just got traded. Let's just say that he didn't feel like the Arizona organization supported his, you know, his right to express himself, or, you know, they said some things to him that he didn't. Well, he'll leave, you know, like and there goes, you know, your number one weapon for your prized quarterback in Kyler Murray. You know, you have leverage when you're a professional, you know, and you can always threaten it, but you have to sit out a year, you know, when you transfer. So I agree with you that we are going to see that because, you know, the rules are a little different, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the one thing that a lot of college football coaches, I think that's why you've seen so many coaches, some have said some things about it. Nick Saban of Alabama, he said something. David Cutcliffe of Duke, he said something. Will Muschamp, the coach of South Carolina, not only went to help players protest, but he also encouraged the black players on his team to register the vote either online or in person. So there have been plenty of coaches that have on the side of the players or understanding exactly where players of color are coming from, or even players not of color that wants to join the protest. And that's their right. But also, a lot of people are going to get on other coaches not speaking up. If they don't want to speak up, they don't feel comfortable with that, then that's their right too. But then you're going to have that conversation or hope that your players in your locker room aren't looking at you side-eye by saying, man, you didn't say anything one way or the other, or we asked for your support and you were completely not complicit. Those are going to be interesting conversations going forward, especially if you're a coach that you believe that players should do what they told, and many of those players may not want to do that anymore and help your program win.
I agree with most of you all's points on that. I would ask you, Freddie, I'm not naive enough to think that these coaches, and the more powerful they are, the more they're going to be willing to run their program the way they see fit. But I do wonder if with everything that's going on, to use the phrase you did, can you, if you're a college coach, can you lord over them to the degree that you once did? Maybe it's fear or thinking, hey, nobody's going to speak up. Or do you have to be more worried about being called out? Because, Freddie, it feels like these players, Marvin Wilson at Florida State, they've been empowered. And even if you go, you know, in Mike Norvell's case where he says he talked with everyone, it clearly wasn't everyone, but he did talk, says he went back and forth with a few, you're going to get called out on it. So can they do it to the same degree when it comes to that, I'm with you on that, lording over? Are they going to have to look at the way they do things for fear of being called out?
Well, here's the deal with that. Not so much with the players, but if you're a coach and you're supposed to be the coach and leader of young men, the best thing about being a leader, being a great leader, is you have to pay attention and you have to listen.
Yep.
If you're going to have this whole kind of I'm the king of all I survey and you better do what I say or else, you're not going to have that great of a program anymore, because players will talk and parents will talk. And then all of a sudden, how do you try to get from underneath that? Because an apology or a statement of apology is not going to work more than ever before. And that's what I mean by coaches out there. You can't just avoid these conversations.
Yep.
You can't just go on vacation and think you come back from vacation that you don't have to have these conversations. Going forward, not just with black players, but also white players in that locker room, There can be plenty of white players going to say, man, I need to understand exactly what's going on. That means I need to listen more. If players are going to do that, if you're going to encourage players to do that, then what kind of coach are you if you're not going to do the same thing that you're telling your players to do or that you want your players to do? For example, Kenny Amatalolo at Navy, he talked about last week that he had a whole meeting with his team, white and black players, when everything was really jumping off when it comes to protesting the killing of George Floyd. And he said it was the best meeting with players he's ever had in his career in football, not just as a coach, but as a player. You know why? Because Ken Niumatalolo did not tell his players to do something that he was not willing to do, and he was willing to put himself out there. If other coaches aren't willing to do that, then that's going to be interesting going forward. If they decide to tell players to do one thing, they don't engage in it, and then what is the reaction of players going to be to that coach and the way he's going to run that program?
Yeah. We are, of course, talking to Freddie Coleman. You can hear him on ESPN Radio right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, listen, the NBA is coming back. Woohoo, we're so excited. Now, we still have to wait 2 months for that. I wish we could get it back a little sooner than that, but, you know, I guess we're beating baseball by quite a margin, so that you can take some solace in that. Do you like the format? Are you down with sort of the decisions that they've made in terms of, you know, here in Memphis, I think we overall feel like, you know, pretty fair, pretty respectful of the Grizzlies' 3.5-game lead, sort of the way they've devised a play-in tournament and who would have to play in that. What do you make of the format? Are you overall good with it?
Well, in Freddie Coleman's world, you would go right to the playoffs. I think that would be the perfect way. Where you have your 16 teams, 8 in the West and 8 in the East, and then have at it. But I clearly understand why the NBA decided to go to this 22-team format and going with 8 games to get you ready for the NBA playoffs. So I completely, I've become more on board with that than what I would want. The only problem I have with the NBA's plan is the offseason. Let's say the NBA Finals, if it goes all the way to a 7th game, that's going to be October 12th, and then training camps open up less than a month away, and then the next NBA season starts on December 1st. To me, that's a terrible idea. If I'm the NBA and if the finals go to October 12th, then you got to make sure training camps don't open before December 1st. And then just start the season on Christmas Day or New Year's Day and half at it from that standpoint where you give your players, even though I know they have not been playing basketball, but I don't think that's really fair to the league and fair to the players to have that sort of a training camp. And I know why they're doing that, because 8 teams are not going to be a part of the 22-team format. But that doesn't mean that that's the best idea, in my opinion, going forward for next season. I think you should take that time, and then you own Christmas Day. This way, everything is going to be focused on your league. You've given teams who played in the playoffs or who got to the finals enough of a time to really rest and then get geared up once again for a very taxing season that could probably include 72 games. I think that serves the NBA and their players a lot better than having the finals ending on October 12th, if that happens. Then less than 30 days after that, everybody's got to get geared up again for another NBA season.
Freddie, I got to ask you this before we get you out of here. I got to know what you think. Goodell's response this weekend, did you feel it hit most of the right notes? Was anything missing? What did you think of his response to players after that strong statement from players?
Well, the NFL does not do anything that's not calculated, and that's not to say that Roger Goodell and the video message was not in the right place. I'll say this. I'm completely stunned he came out with a video. I thought the NFL was just going to put out a statement saying they respect the players and that was going to be done with it. Roger Goodell decided to put his name and his face to that video. But I also was not surprised not one owner said anything about support for that video. You haven't heard one owner in the National Football League say, attaboy Roger. And I know Roger gets paid a lot of money to fall on the sword for those owners, but I thought it was very, very interesting that here it is that he put out that video on Friday in response to the players' video on Thursday night, and we haven't heard a peep out of any owner in the National Football League. To me, that message, and I called in on Friday, I said, yeah, I'd be stunned if any owner comes out and says Roger's doing the right thing for the NFL. Their silence has been magnified by the fact they have not said anything good or bad, positive or negative, about a video that they pay a guy to represent them as commissioner of the National Football League. I can't wait to see exactly what a player had to say about, man, why did my owner say anything? Because we haven't heard anything from any owners about what Roger Goodell put out on video on Friday.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show tomorrow at 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.